Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Mooresville.
Well, that's me, that little stick man up there. I shared that slide a few weeks ago. That's how I started my Christian life. I was that stick man. And that's really what I carried in my heart. I didn't carry wisdom. I carried wisdom. Okay? And sometimes in my life I have felt that same way about myself, even in recent times, where I just felt just such a need in my heart for God's wisdom in my life. And I look across the landscape of the church, and I see that same need. So I think it's a corporate need for the church in America, that it's a time for God's wisdom to come into the church and for us to begin to reflect His wisdom. And, you know, I felt that it was something, you know, that I'm just hungry to hear God's voice in my life. I just have this hunger for that. And everything's by faith, right? You know, we hear God by faith. We were talking to our grandchildren on the way about, because my youngest grandchild said, I don't hear God. I don't hear Him. And we were trying to explain to her before they got in a fight about hearing God in your heart, not necessarily audibly. And then they got in a big fight and argued about what was God and what wasn't God. And you know how kids are. And I'm trying to make them stop. And Becky's telling me to stop. And, well, that's my wisdom, right? The stick man has showed up. But listen, I want to read this verse to you. It's in Proverbs 8, 6 through 8. This is New Living. It says, listen to me. So that, right away, wisdom is trying to tell us, just in those words, that God wants to speak to us. And He's saying, listen to me, okay, for I have important things to tell you. I mean, this is a loaded verse here. I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. Everything. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There's nothing devious or crooked in it. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned out of James 3:17, it says, the wisdom from above is first pure. That's really where James got that. That's what that's telling us. You know, when I know this is a little bit of a repeat, but I want to bring this out. When I first got saved, I had a lot of challenges. And the thing that I was interested in, there was three things I was asking God about. Is friends, females, and future. Notice the three F's. So a lot of young people, that's what they think, you know, because I had a lot of friends, and friends are important to me, okay? To this day, my friends have a big, they if I'm a friend with somebody, they hold a special place in my heart. And to lose friends crushed me, because I knew I was going to lose some friends. In fact, I was going to lose all the friends in the world that I had when I got saved, all of them. And I loved my friends, and I love those people still to this day, the ones that are still alive. A few of them are not alive. They died. They stayed in that lifestyle. But I love them today when I think about them. I still have this place in my heart for them. And of course, I talked about, you know, about females. You know, as a young man, I was interested in females, which most young men are. Hopefully, you know, that's the way God sort of made this thing to work. And I wanted a girl. I wanted a girlfriend. And as a believer, I was trying to figure out what that looked like and what that meant. Because I had no clue I had a clue that I was saved, okay? I had some clue about Christians go to church, but I had no clue about how you live your life. That was my struggle. I don't know how all this works. And I certainly didn't know about my future, because I felt like I didn't have my future that I had planned. I no longer had it. And somehow, by the grace of God, I fell into this book of Proverbs, and it began to speak to me. It began to give me answers. But there was another part of my life, is I began to have dreams from the Lord. God began to speak to me about in my dreams. Now, listen, this is before I knew anything about dreams. I didn't know anything about the prophetic. gifts of the Spirit. I knew zero. I knew zero about the whole spiritual stuff. But all I knew is I was asking God about things. I was going to bed at night, and I was having these dreams where I came to the conclusion that God was talking to me. Okay? Now, I didn't initially, but I sort of started figuring it out. Like, oh, my gosh. God is literally answering me in my dreams. Okay? And that was a beautiful thing. And it was easy for me to believe that God speaks to a person in dreams because I wasn't connected with the religious spirit that tries to quench all that and tries to push all that away at that time. I found out about it later. My big joke is about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I was telling some other believers about it, and they said, oh, that's not for the day. And I said, it's too late. Because I knew it was real. You were not going to convince me of that. So I'm just sort of giving you a little bit of testimony where I was at and how impactful. But here's something that happened in my dreams. Not only was God speaking in my dreams, but there was someone else speaking to me in my dreams. There was another being giving me dreams or entering my dreams. And that being was the enemy. And here's what the Lord showed me in this verse. The devil is a great counterfeiter. He comes as an angel of light, the Bible says, but he's not perfect. You see, the wisdom of the Lord will give you ability to look into a dream or look into a situation, look into your life, and you can see, you are able to discern where God is and what's not of God. Because I would have these dreams that felt like God was talking to me. It seemed like God was talking, but there'd always be this one little thing in there that didn't line up. It was a deception, like it says here. It wasn't wholesome. You hear me? There was something devious or crooked about it. Maybe it was just a little flesh. Are you here? Are y'all with me? And see, when God begins to release his wisdom to you, that's what I discovered. The wisdom of the Lord brings discernment of the Lord, where you can discern what's of God and what's not of God. And that really helped me so much as a young believer to navigate this world of the world out there that I had been deeply involved in, plus the religious world that I discovered was everywhere in Christianity, to navigate through that and not allow that to suck me into either one of them. That and Becky, after I met her. She was great for me. So, you know, as I'm looking at my future today, you know, I'm saying, oh, I need a renewal in wisdom. I need a refreshment in the wisdom of the Lord. So that's, now all that to say, that's why I'm talking to you. Because I think we all need wisdom. So let me just tell you a couple of little things here this morning. Number two, Luke 2:52, it says this. We all know this verse, but this is beautiful. We should be asking these three things. Jesus grew in wisdom. So that tells you right now, wisdom is not a one-time event. Wisdom is a lifelong event. Wisdom's a process. It's something we can have, but there's more to have. Right? He grew in wisdom, it says, okay, and stature and favor with God and all the people. Beautiful, isn't it? So we can have all of those because that's the way it worked in Jesus' life, and that's an invitation. You know, these verses like this are invitation for us to walk on the same path that Jesus walked on. And so here's the thing about wisdom. Wisdom is like a path of life that we walk on, that we journey on. But the path we find, if you will begin to walk on this path, you'll discover the essence of that path is the Lord himself. He's the path, okay, because he's wisdom, you know, personified. And, you know, in any other path, and I can tell you this, I know this, you don't have to do this. Any other path is a dead end for your life. It will lead to a dead end because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So any path apart from the wisdom of God is going to lead you to a dead end. It is not going to work out for you the way you think it is. It, you know, there's a scripture that said things may seem right in the beginning, but the end will not be prospered and blessed. That's my translation. You know, Paul was on a ship, Acts 27. Hey, don't do this, is what he said. But he said the captain of the ship was more persuaded by the owner, okay? And Paul warned him, you know, this is my famous thing I tell people. I told you so. And the reason I told you so, Paul said that to them at their shipwreck. I told you, you should have listened to me. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Don't you hate somebody says, I told you so? But it's right in the Bible. Paul said, I told you so. You should have listened to me. Well, you see, they thought they had what they needed. But Paul was hearing something else. Paul had the wisdom. They didn't. You know? And so, and I thank God today, you know, honestly, there was girls I was very attracted to before I met Becky. And I will kiss the ground, okay, if I need to. The thing, you know, that I thought that I wanted those girls, I wanted that relationship with them, that God, like, told me real clear, no. I mean, as clear as bell, he made it very clear to me that those girls are not girls for you, son. You know, and I'm so thankful today that I listened to the Lord and didn't fight him. I did fight him a little bit, honestly, you know. I argued, but I finally gave in, you know. And not long after that, I met Becky. And, you know, God gave me the answer to my prayers for a woman to walk with me in the life that God called me to walk. And we can trust the wisdom of God to help us. If we'll trust it, it'll help us. Well, the Bible tells us this. This is Proverbs 4:18. Listen to this. It says, but the path of, this is New American Standard. I like it better here, this verse in New American. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And that's the way wisdom works in our life. Okay, it comes to us like an early morning time, and early in the day when there's not full light, when we begin to have wisdom, when we begin to walk in wisdom, it's not full. It's not like the noonday. But it is a path. And so why is it a path? Because a path is like something you walk on. A path is something that you do with your life. To walk on a path, you take one step after the other, and say that's how wisdom works in our life. It's a step-by-step, a day-by-day thing. Are y'all following me? Because you don't look real happy. You look kind of unhappy. You're the unhappy people. Okay? So, you know... So listen, what makes our life what it is, what makes us who we are, is determined by the path we take in life. Okay? That's why the Bible calls it a path. In fact, if you look in Proverbs, in the first 9 chapters, they use the word either way, path, or road to describe our life. And that's what those chapters are all about, the path you're taking, the way you're taking, the road you're going down in life. Now, here's what the world will tell you. The world will tell you education, money, success, affluence, owning a lot of things, all of that will make you significant. And in the world, it does. There's no question about that. Well, listen to what the church tells you. Okay, the church will tell you something like this. Oh, a special event will help you. A special event, revival. A special encounter with the Lord. Am I messing with somebody right now? This is what will make you. And listen, I will 100% agree with that because I have went after that for years. And I can promise you I've had major encounters with the Lord that have completely directed my life. Completely. But you know what? That's one place on the path. That's one moment on the path. Because the next day you get up. After you had your encounter, after you had the major thing that happened to you, guess what you get to do? You get to get up, put your pants on like you did the day before you had your encounter. You get to walk out and you get to go to work or whatever you do with your daily life, you get to do it again. You got to keep walking. I love what Graham Cook said years ago. It really spoke to me. He says, it's one thing to get your breakthrough. It's another thing to live your breakthrough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, that's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom comes in how you live your life. Wisdom is really, if you really study wisdom deeply, what you'll find, wisdom has more to do with our present situation, our present life, and our future. That's really what wisdom's about. It's not necessarily about the past. It's about what's happening in your life today and what you should or shouldn't do, and about what the future may look like. And so when we get wisdom, we can begin to not only look what's happening in our daily life, we can begin to look towards our future. And that's why I'm saying American Christianity desperately needs wisdom, so we can see what's happening. Because there's all kinds of stuff coming at us. There's all kinds of things. And we need wisdom on how to navigate those things. Are y'all with me? I mean, it's really so true. This is what Jesus says. Follow me, and I will. This is what he said in Mark 1:17 when he was speaking to some of his disciples. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you become. Follow in the path of wisdom, and I will make you who you're supposed to be. I will make your life the way it's supposed to be. Does that make sense? That's what wisdom looks like lived out. Okay, I don't think y'all are really paying that much attention here. Okay, this is a beautiful thing. Let me read Psalm 16. You're going to be fine. Psalm 16, verse 11. I love this verse. This verse has a whole very special meaning in my family. I mean, this is a true thing from God that God gave Becky and I when we were at our worst moment of our entire life. Our most low, devastated time, God spoke to this. And really, this is sort of a pattern of how God wants to live our life. It says, number one, he says, you will show me the path of life. In other words, so God, listen, God will take responsibility for showing us the path of wisdom, of how to live our life. He will take responsibility if we will give him the responsibility, if we will give him permission to do that. Many of us, we want to make all our decisions for ourselves. What we want, how we feel, our comfort, right? What we think is right, or maybe the influence around us telling us what we think, right? And so we had to surrender all that and give that. Just like I had to surrender as a young person, as a young man, these girls I wanted a relationship with and I thought they would be good candidates to marry, I had to let go of those girls, okay? I had to surrender that and allow God to show me the path of life. God showed me the person that he had for me. Are y'all following this? And see, this is why this is so important for us right now, for the church, for God to show us the path that the church should go to go forward in our nation. You know, because stuff happens. You will show me the path of life, and that path always leads to what? His presence. That's what it says next. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So when we choose wisdom, wisdom is going to lead us to the presence of the Lord. And that's the thing that's so valuable to us, is his presence. And we all want that presence. We all desire that presence. And here David is telling us, this is the way into presence. Walk, allow God to take over your life. Allow God to put you on the path of wisdom. And it will lead to his presence. It will lead to his joy, and it will lead to pleasures in your life. It will lead to goodness in your life. Wisdom will bring you into the goodness of God. Wisdom will bring you into the presence of God. See, wisdom is just not being smart or being, you know, knowing what to do and having skill for living. It actually enhances who you are. It gives you the very desires of your heart, the presence of the Lord. If that's not your very desire, it will become it once you get exposed to it. Once you get exposed to the manifest presence of the Lord, nothing else will satisfy you for the rest of your life. You'll be ruined forever in a good way. I pray that God will ruin everybody in this room, just ruin you. You'll never be satisfied again. I'll never be happy. I'll never be happy with life as usual, church as usual, anything as usual, mission trips as usual. I'm only going to be happy when I'm in his presence. That's the thing that's going to keep me going and keep me going. Keep me when it's dark. Keep me in the valley. Keep me when I feel nothing, see nothing, or hear nothing. But I know there's a presence out there. And I know there's pleasures out there that come with that. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And the Lord has promised to show us the path of life if we'll give him the chance to. Okay, well, here's something beautiful. I'm going to read a couple of things out of Proverbs chapter 3, because Proverbs chapter 3 is amazing. There are like nine pieces of practice, at least nine, okay? Nine pieces of practical advice for life in Proverbs chapter 3. There's nine things that wisdom says, do these things and you'll know. Do these things and you'll be on the path of wisdom. It's like a GPS, you know, that is telling us, turn right here. Go 3 miles down there. That's what Proverbs 3 is like. It's an amazing chapter in the Bible. And another thing that's beautiful about it is this. Is wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 3, has lots of rewards in it. There's many benefits to walking in wisdom. In other words, it tells us these things, like if you'll do this thing, guess what? This will happen for you. This goodness will happen for you. It's not earning it. It's just saying on the path of wisdom, there's goodness. In other words, the Bible tells us this. Let me say it like this. The Bible tells us that wisdom is a promise, right? If any man lacks wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. That's a promise from the Bible, right? So wisdom is a promise, but also wisdom, when we gain it, when we're on it, when we're walking the path, it has promises with it that it carries to us. Does that make sense? So when you begin to walk this path of wisdom, there's these promises that come with it. I mean, that should stimulate people. That should say, yeah, I'm in. You know, that should, you know what I'm saying? Well, recently I read this thing from LinkedIn. Y'all know what that is? It's kind of a business app that business people use. They've tried to get me on it, but I'm not a business guy. Okay? But they had this survey on there which I found fascinating. And this is the name of the survey. The 10 things people want but can't figure out how to get. Okay, so they just said, what do you want but you don't know how to get it? And they listed 10 things here. And I'm going to tell you what they are because I was fascinated with this survey. One is happiness. Number two is money. I'm thinking everybody in this room is saying, I'm on that list. I don't think there's a soul in there. I'd like to have some more happiness. I could use some more cash, Lord. You know, I need some things I want to do. You know, it takes money to do stuff in this world. Number three is freedom. Number four is peace. Number five is joy. Right? That's God stuff right there. People are saying they want some God stuff. They want some peace. They want some joy. They want some freedom, but we don't know how to get any of it. We could tell them that. But then there's this thing called balance. I'd just like to have more balance in my life. Or fulfillment's number seven. Eight is confidence. Nine is stability. And 10 is passion. That is an amazing list, I think, that what people desire. We would, all of us probably agree, we would desire all of those things. We want more peace. We want more joy. We need more balance. We need more confidence. We need more stability. We need all that. But the one thing that's not on the list is wisdom. And if you read Proverbs, wisdom will tell you how to get every one of those things. It really will. The path of wisdom will give you stability. It'll give you balance. It'll bring you into happiness. It has to. That's where it leads to. I mean, it's kind of one of God's big strategic things. It's kind of one of God's greater things that he releases for people. Are y'all with me? I'm fixing to do this. Okay, fixing to get out of the way here. One of the things that we like in this church is spiritual gifts, right? Of course we do. If you don't like spiritual gifts, what's wrong with you? Somebody may say, I want spiritual fruit more than I want spiritual gifts. I'm thinking, bull! I want both. God didn't say I had to pick one or the other. He said I could have both. Amen. So stop. If you hear that, just say, nah, we ain't going down that road. We're saying both and, not either or. We don't have to choose. God says you can have them both. They both operate in a different way, come in different ways. Right? You know, the old story, a gift is something you get under the Christmas tree. A fruit is something that the tree bears. So we bear that, but... So, well, we would all in this room say we love the gift of the word of knowledge, right? And there's everybody in this room. I mean, piles of people in this room get words of knowledge. Right? Words of knowledge are this. You know, here's an example. Oh, I feel like there's somebody in here who has a hurt leg. Because my legs ain't hurt, and I'm having all this pain in my leg, and God is showing me. And then people say, that's a word of knowledge. Okay? Are y'all following that? Words of knowledge typically deal with your past or your present. They're like insight into what's going on in your life. That's what a word of knowledge is. And lots of times they operate with other gifts, like with the leg thing, then God would release a healing for them. And that would be why he would give a word of knowledge. But then the word of wisdom, like, we don't talk about that one that much. Right? The word of wisdom is a gift that we could give somebody that would deal mainly in their present situation or their future situation, where God would give them some information about what's going on in their life, and this is what you need to do about it. Word of knowledge really doesn't give any information about what you should do about a hurt leg. It would just say, oh, they have a hurt leg. Well, we should pray for a hurt leg. Yeah. Duh, right? But a word of wisdom would say, these are some things you need to do about your situation. Are y'all following that? But see, we would probably, more than likely, if we had a survey, and I tried to find one, I couldn't find one, a survey of what spiritual gifts do you want the most, I bet you most people would not have word of wisdom up on the top of that list. Most people are like, well, I want the gift of faith. I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of word of knowledge. I want the gift of prophecy. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that wisdom thing, too. I might need that, too. I want to be able to help people with their life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you seeing that? But now, and I think in the past few years, I got to hurry. In the past few years, God has really emphasized the word of knowledge and prophetic utterance in churches. I'm wondering, like, maybe he's going to start emphasizing the gift of the word of wisdom for people. There's people in this room right now, you got some big decisions to make. You know what you need? You need the word of wisdom released to you. You need that so you can know what you're supposed to do about your current situation, about your illness or about your finances, about your children. Yeah? And see, that's how it works. But the gift of word of wisdom is not the path of wisdom. The gift is to help other people, right? The path of wisdom is something everybody can flow in all the time if you're following Christ. All right. Is this making sense to y'all? All right, I'm going to wrap this thing down, okay? And then Becky's going to come in here and finish it. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to tell you this. This is the first thing that Proverbs 3 tells you about walking on the path of wisdom. So this is how it happens. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. And then the next verse is the reward. If you'll do this, you will live many years. That's a promise from the word of God. If you'll do what he said in the first verse, he says, you're going to live a long time. And your life will be satisfying. Your life will be satisfying. You'll be satisfied. You'll have satisfaction. You know what it feels like to feel dissatisfied and frustrated with your life? Well, here he's telling us something. He's telling us what I meant. This is some of the promises it carry. And so, but listen, much of Proverbs, if you went back to the original Hebrew culture, when Proverbs were written, this is how they used it. They used it in the home, okay, to train the children. That's why it talks about my child. It's like a father or a mother speaking, okay? What does that tell us? It tells us that wisdom, listen to me, y'all, wisdom is found in community. Wisdom is found in relationships. And we are never going to really walk fully in wisdom outside of godly relationships. That's what it's showing us. That's what it's telling us. It's giving us a key right here. You ask the Lord, I need wisdom. And maybe the Lord said, I'll give you wisdom. But you know what you need to do? You need to have some relationships going in your life. You need to be part of a community. I'm just telling you what it says. I ain't making this up. You know? Listen to Proverbs 18:1. One who separates himself seeks his own desires, He quarrels against all sound wisdom. He quarrels against... That's New American Standard Bible, by the way. I just like the way it said it. In other words, when we separate ourselves from community, when we separate ourselves from fellowship with other godly believers, then we are pushing against the thing that will bring satisfaction in our lives. We're pushing against it. We're quarreling against it. We have an issue with it. I mean, am I getting anybody any hunger to get wisdom in your life? So I'm going to let Becky do this next one. She can end on it. And the reason I'm letting her do it, because she's so much smarter than me. And actually, she has a lot of revelation on this one.
All right. There you go. You probably could have just stopped now, but are y'all good to go on just a few more minutes? So Byron asked me while we were on vacation that I was going to do a message. I kind of got mad at him. He says, oh, you got this, but it's not like that for me. It takes a while to prepare. But I have talked a lot on this subject, but I think we're going to move on to Proverbs 3, 3, and 4. And then this is why he asked me to do it. It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Well, that word there, kindness, happens to be the word hesed. And Byron was kind of shocked at that because I've actually been talking about hesed for a couple of years here. And it came supernaturally. I heard the Lord one morning in prayer where he just said the word hesed to me, and I was not far off from preaching or teaching at the women's retreat. And it's been a major revelation for me to go back and visit this Hebrew word. And I loved it just going back. I'm just going to go over that just a little bit with y'all again, because there's people here, a lot of new people that have not heard any of this. But hesed is a word that is found 250 times in scriptures. It's a major theme of the Bible. And that word there, it means this. It's been translated in so many different ways. It is mercy, loving kindness, goodness, steadfast love, unfailing love, loyal love, faithful love. And, of course, that kindness there is another word. And it's really all boils down to God's nature. His very nature of how he relates to man is in all of these ways. And the cool thing about it is this. Now, I'm going to point out why this is so important to us and why it is all really tied to wisdom. God relates to man in this way. He's faithful. That word up there in this verse where it says truth, that's actually faithfulness. It's another, it's so interesting about hesed because it is such a word that is hard to describe. There's always these other words that are drawn to it because, you know, God's pretty big. His heart's pretty big. You can never get to the end of his goodness and his mercy and his kindness and his truthfulness with us. He really left a throne in heaven to come and show his hesed to us. And I just, when you hear that word hesed from me, I am really, it's enveloped in all of this. And you really see the scriptures are saying to us, we're to bind these things around our own necks and live this out because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We can live out of this well ourselves. But we first have to have revelation of who God is and how he relates to mankind. And it's through all of these ways. And we will never be the people of God that he has ordained us to be until we've tapped into that heart so we can have his heart to give out to the people around us. It is a supernatural thing, and we do bind it around our necks where our minds are affected by this. And our hearts are affected by this revelation. And it has changed me. I'm a grace girl, and I have understood grace, God's favor, and grace is because of hesed. It began in the Old Testament. It wasn't a new thought in the New Testament. He hung on a cross because of his covenant nature. And that covenant nature was not based on that just because of a covenant, he has these things toward us. His love caused the covenant to come forth. So this is why Proverbs is saying, you know, Old Testament mindset knew about all of this. It's just us religious crowds that don't. We think we're supposed to live by some rules and please God and do all those things. But somehow they knew all those things were tied to God's goodness toward us. If we would abide by his laws, it was really his goodness and hesed being manifested of how to live a life of wisdom. So, amen. So one of the things to help us understand hesed, this kindness and this truth that is in these verses, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Is these things, why this is so important, because this is, it's described as an attachment that God has to mankind. It really looks like glue. It's like he's glued to us. He'll never let us go. The steadfast love, hesed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, hesed, never come to an end. They're new every morning. They're new every day. Why? Because he's attached to us. These are covenant attachment words for the people. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just us believers, his kids. He loves the world. God, he so loved the world that he gave us the ultimate attachment to mankind. We are created in his image, and we're to keep these things in mind as we live out our lives, that we're not serving a distant God that's somewhere out there that doesn't care. He's very attached to us as his children, and he's very attached to the very lost and broken out there. We need to wear these things around us. They need to be etched in our hearts so that we can live this life of wisdom God has put in us. I had an experience. Byron and I went on vacation this week. So glad that people were praying for us. We went to a family wedding. Before we got there, I went to help a niece decorate. And you know, if y'all know me, my family lives on a compound. Everybody got land from my parents. So a few of my siblings live there, and nieces and nephews. And there's, you know, right now that area is being ravaged by drugs. There are people dropping almost every day there from fentanyl. And unfortunately, my family's been, I've got nieces and nephews that we pray for. I've talked about that at Christmas. And while we're decorating for a wedding, next door, we hear screams next door, and we find out that my nephew has died. He's overdosed. So right in the middle of the wedding, we're trying to deal with that. But you know the thing that keeps me, my head up, and you know, knowing God put me there at that moment, I know the nature of God, the hesed of God. He knew what my nephew had lived through his whole life. And he has compassion because it's a new every day. He didn't have a chance from a little boy. And I just think we need to keep that in mind in this world we're around. You know, we cannot be these old ogre Christians that have these hard attitudes toward people that are lost and suffering around us. And I do believe what Jeff said, our hearts to reach out, because we know we have a God that is attached to mankind. He's a God of hesed, compassion and mercy and kindness, and it's new every single day. And the way we will win the loss is through our reaching out with them with this hesed, with the love of God. It's around our necks. It's in our minds. It's etched in our hearts. We can only give away what we've received, and we've received. It's not good to sit in the four walls and just have it here. It's time, church. That's the wisdom. is it to flow out of this house, that the people around us, our friends, our families. But I will say this, what Byron was saying, that it does begin here. We need it with each other. We need community. We need to speak into each other's lives with a heart of hesed, with a heart of attachment, with a heart that I'm going to stick through you, with you through thick and thin. If you fail, I'm going to be there to help you get up again, just like God does. Just like God does. You know, when I was praying, I've been praying fervently for my nieces and my nephews that are on drugs. And they just, when they get, listen, guys, when these people get out there that far, they can't get back unless there's a miracle. And for us to sit back and think, why don't they just quit? We need prayer and hearts of compassion to win them back. But I asked the Lord about this. And I said, Lord, I've been praying so fervently. Because, you know, I preached about it and just knew. And I kid you not, do you remember the message I preached about being the light and praying fervently? I don't know if any of y'all remember that, but I preached it on our Christmas message. And the Lord had given me a word to just keep praying. Well, right in the middle of me standing outside of that trailer where my nephew was in there, and it was taking hours to get everybody there that needed to deal with what was happening, the police, the sheriffs, the hazmat people, all of that, I got a text message from Mary Mead from a song that said, don't stop praying. We stick with each other. If we're failing, we don't give up. And I asked the Lord, I said, but Lord, I had been fervent what you told me to do. And you know what he said to me? I answered your prayer. He allowed him to go home. This is interesting. My brother, his daddy, who was also a drug addict, died 2 years ago. I preached on it after he died. I just found out that right before he died, he made sure that Brian, my nephew, knew the Lord. He asked him just a few days ahead, Brian, do you know the Lord? Have you really accepted Jesus into your life? And I'm just saying, as people of God, we have this pleasure that we get to walk with our God. He's beautiful. He's glorious. He's everything we've ever needed. And we get to know it. But they don't. And sometimes they can't get out. And we just need to bind it around our necks. Keep it in our, etch it in our hearts, right? That's wisdom.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.